Welcome to Season 2 of the Underwater Technology Podcast from the SUT, the Society for Underwater Technology. I'm Emily Boddy, the Communications and Publications Officer at the SUT.
And I'm Andrew Connolly with the SUT Aberdeen Branch and SUT Council.
Each week we speak with our members, friends and guests from the global underwater technology community. Podcast 51, 1st of April 2021. This week Andrew speaks to the SUT's new CEO, Dr. Cheryl Burgess. We find out about her background in the subsea industry, her love for the underwater world, her future plans for the SUT, and how she thinks we can inspire the next generation to get excited about careers in the ocean.
Welcome to the Underwater Technology Podcast. My guest today is Cheryl Burgess, who is the recently appointed SUT CEO. Welcome, Cheryl.
Hello, Andrew.
So, Cheryl, going to learn a bit today about yourself and the SUT and what the SUT means to you. So before going too far in, can you please just share with us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I've come to the SUT, started in January. My recent professional roles have included the role of Director General with the Pipeline Industries Guild. I was there for over 13 years. I've worked for what was the Society of British Gas Industries, so Downstream Gas, now Energy and Utility Alliance. And I also did a number of years with UK Trade and Investment, which is now the Department for International Trade. And my background has been upstream, downstream, onshore, offshore, consultancy. I was a drilling side of things for a while, reservoir analyst, worked in crisis and risk management, but none of the academic degrees I hold are oil and gas, petroleum, marine science, or engineering. My first degree is politics and classics. So I ended up in the industry a bit by accident, but I've had a very interesting career, I would say, that brought me to the SUT.
Oh, that sounds like a very interesting and varied career indeed. And I think that's a really good message that, you know, whatever your academic qualifications are, it's not necessarily the route that you're going to end up taking and obviously built a successful career in where you've got to now.
I will tell you a brief story about me. When I was 14, my father said to me, learn to touch type, you'll always be able to get a job. This is before people had personal computers, let alone laptops. So I'm showing my age. But my father's thinking was, if I knew how to touch type, I would always be able to get a job. At the end of my first year of university, I needed a summer job. My parents had moved, divorced parents had moved to California. And I went to a temp agency. And sure enough, they found me a job in like 5 minutes. And it was as relief cover as a temp for the summer. As it happens, it was working for a drilling company, you know, temp, type, answer the phone, do the filing, all of those things. And I'd been there about a week, and the guy who owned the business came out and he said to me, he said, I need a guy here who can use a slide rule by 12 o'clock, call the union. It was 8:30 in the morning. And I said to him, I can use a slide rule. What do you want figured out? So I went from being the temp typist to being a trainee drilling engineer in the space of 5 minutes. And being the trainee drilling engineer meant that I finished university in America with very little debt because the wages were union wages and it was just that much better. So I've been in the industry ever since, even though I don't have a degree in engineering or oil or gas or geophysics or anything else. I think one of the things that I've seen through my own career is that you don't know what the future holds in so many respects, but much like anything, if you have good core skills, particularly in math and science, you can go pretty well anywhere. And those disciplines, they don't care how old you are, they don't care what gender you are. If you've got good math skills, you can do pretty well anything.
Yeah, for sure. I'd definitely agree with that. So as someone that's been involved in the subsea industry and underwater technology for a number of years, have you amassed any interesting or unusual subsea facts?
A couple of facts, or I suppose I like oddities as well. I find that at this point in time, we know more about the surface of Mars and Venus and intergalactic planets than we do about the ocean surfaces. The mid-ocean ridge is the longest mountain chain literally on Earth, and it's on the seabed, but it's largely unexplored. So we know more about space in many respects than the oceans.
I think that's quite a good point. And I think it's not only that, but the aspiration to explore it. You know, there's more aspiration to explore Mars and other planetary bodies than necessarily some of these depths of underwater.
Underwater, it's a wonderful environment. And I don't know how many of the SUT members, listeners, or the wider audience have ever been able to go scuba diving, for example, for pleasure, not in a professional capacity. And once you're in that underwater environment and you see this enormous variety of plant life and aquatic mammals and fish, it is so amazing to see what is just below the surface of the water. And I will say I have a particular fondness for things like seahorses. I blame it on my father giving us as children things like seahorses and, of course, the sea monkeys we will all remember and love from when we're that 7 or 8 year old range. I think I like seahorses not just because of the shape, but they are the only animal species on Earth where the males bear the young. Got to give
them credit
for that.
Yes. Yeah. I would say one of the last times I went scuba diving, I was chased by a fish, which wasn't necessarily what put me off scuba diving. Not that anything has put me off. It's really just opportunity to go diving, really. But that's my feedback on it.
Where were you diving, Andrew?
That was in Thailand at the time. Titan triggerfish, I think it was.
Okay. If you dive off of the Florida Keys or the Bahamas, you can, you know, you'll frequently see not just wonderful coral formations and there's wrecks you can dive, but you'll come across things like grouper fish. And normally, if we see grouper here, they're relatively small. But you see them in those bodies of water, and they can weigh quite a significant weight. And they're huge. I mean, they are scary huge.
Yeah.
It's different. Diving makes the world different.
So thanks for the subsea fact. For the listeners, we're going to be doing a recurring theme of subsea facts through the season. So do tune in to the next podcast to learn more facts. So SUT, what's attracted you into the SUT?
I've been what I'm now calling SUT adjacent for at least the last 25 years as I've worked for other industry bodies or in government. So I've known the SUT for a long time without being intimately involved. When I learned that the position of chief executive was open, what attracted me to apply was not only the aspirations of the SUT and its delivery as a learned society, but its international branches and the special interest groups, because I like global business and I am a strong advocate in lifelong learning.
Okay. So for those who might not know the remit of the Society of Underwater Technology, what does the CEO role in SUT involve?
It is everything from working with the SUT Council on strategy and business development, finance and budget. I'm currently working on a new set of standard operating procedures for the SUT just to improve our functionality. I'm now getting to learn about all of the branches and the special interest groups, SUT Plus, the developing training courses. So it is everything that's involved in running a membership organization, which is a charity and one that has education and training at the heart of its raison d'etre.
Sounds like something that, you know, even in what you would say normal times, is going to throw a bit of challenges with the variety of things that the SUT get involved in. But coming into this role, what you might say at a slightly difficult time, how do you feel that the SUT can adapt to the current economic or social challenges that we face at the moment?
I think that there are a number of challenges that the SUT is facing at the current moment. And if you don't mind, I'll put the impact of the pandemic sort of on the back burner for a moment. One thing we've all seen is how we all talk now about energy transition, and we're all on the road of net zero by 2050. So we're seeing big changes in the hydrocarbon industry, the oil and gas industry that's been very much at the heart of the SUT, and we're seeing those major international players move into renewables in a big way, offshore wind particularly. And we're seeing that diversification play out through the supply chain. For the SUT, the organization is really well placed, if we can get our ducks in a row, to be part of the conversation and shape the delivery in the future, as these are challenges that are going to affect everyone everywhere. So all of the branches from Australia to the States or Singapore and China to Canada. So as we go around the globe, everybody's talking about how do we change energy sources and how do we integrate renewables into grid delivery. So I think that's a big challenge as the market has shifted and skills are changing, but I see it as an opportunity for the SUT. With the pandemic, we're all having to engage differently nowadays. I think there's a lot of Zoom fatigue or other platforms, shall we say, for engagement. And it's made those social interactions that are part of business and learning different as well as difficult. The Perth branch of SUT has been able to maintain its face-to-face meetings because of how the pandemic has been handled differently there than it has here in the UK or in the USA. And we're seeing the delivery of the subsea awareness course as an online offering now. And there'll be a variety of new courses that'll all have online delivery until it is safe for people to go back to meeting in a face-to-face environment. We've all got the opportunity to go to conferences and exhibitions where not only are you learning about best practice and changes in technology, but you have those face-to-face meetings with colleagues and an opportunity to engage socially as well as professionally. Doing it online, it's not the same. It's better than nothing, but it's not the same.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I mean, I found through my own professional career that the online meetings are great for getting the business done, but it's always the side conversations where the opportunities happen. This is what we're missing at the moment, really, which is a shame, but hopefully we'll be turning things around later this year.
Lots of things are still planned to take place. Some things are online or now is known as the hybrid event. And many of the events that we would normally see taking place in the first half of the year have been reorganized. So September is looking very busy with offshore Europe taking place. All Energy is August. OTC has been moved from its traditional first week of May into the autumn, ocean business. So if we're allowed to meet face-to-face, it will be very busy come the autumn.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of people wanting to catch up with face-to-face meetings come that time. So you were speaking about energy transition. So SUT being a learned society, what initiatives are the SUT getting into to help people keep up with what's happening in energy transition?
In addition to the traditional subsea awareness course, there's new courses being developed, one focusing on offshore renewables. There's another offering that's going to look at the risk market and insurance. I know that there are some plans for other targeted subsea awareness courses or webinars. some I can talk about and a couple are still too speculatively. I was involved in a conversation just the other day about whether there is sufficient interest within the SUT for a specific group on hydrogen, for example. So there's a variety of conversations going on, particularly within the special interest group, where there are two new groups, one on marine science and another on UXO, so on exploded ordnance. I think it's fair to say if there's sufficient member interest in developing a new group and appetite for talking about hot topics or problems or lessons learned, then there's the opportunity for other groups to come together, including one that might focus on energy and transition. If you look at the diversity of SUT corporate members and the number of countries where the SUT has individuals who are members, that is something that shows the strength of SUT membership, looking at the changes that are going to come with energy transition around the world.
With a bit of time to get your feet under the table now, where are you seeing the SUT going over the, you know, the sort of longer term coming years?
Apart from going back to seeing SUT members at meetings face to face and hopefully being able to travel in the future, because the SUT participates and supports significant number of the industry events around the world through the branches. Where I'd like to see the SUT going is increased membership, both corporate and individual, running more events, professional, technical, social, education, and training, so people have the opportunity to come together, meet, network, and learn in many different ways. I would like to see the SUT hitting that 2050 milestone in a way where it's bringing value with not only to its members, but the wider industry.
So you think that the SUT has got a good part to play in helping us all meet this 2050 target?
I do. And as I get to know the people who are active in the SUT and more about the different special interest groups, it's astounding the level of expertise that come together within these committees as volunteers who are all active for the sake of the SUT and the industry as a whole. So outside of academia, and we do have a number of members who are academics, of course, it is just a wonderful pool of knowledge that is available for industry, for individuals, and hopefully perhaps even to contribute to government discussions.
I'm really looking forward to seeing the SUT help drive this forward. It's something that we all have to get involved in, but hopefully I'm looking forward to seeing how the SUT can help us all in that. With the variety of things that the SUT get involved in, different initiatives, is there any part of it that you're most looking forward to being directly involved in or indirectly involved in?
I've already had one conversation with SUT Plus in the Aberdeen branch. I know it may sound trite, but our younger generation, our developing professionals, they're the future of the industry. So seeing what they think, or hearing what they think, and meeting those groups is something I'm really looking forward to, as well as meeting some of the long-standing esteemed members. But if I look at the people who will do the work as we run up to 2050, it is that younger generation. So it's really important, I think, to know what they think of what we're doing now, how they see the future shaping up, and making sure that the SUT stays relevant to them as well as to our members and the wider industry. So I'm particularly looking forward to meeting those groups, as well as hopefully getting some of the branches together or seeing the branches in action where it's possible in the future.
Definitely the younger generation, you know, there's some really good initiatives with the SGT there. I mean, obviously you mentioned SGT Plus, which is a great initiative, and you know, some really good people involved in that. I mean, people I know from my own involvement in the Aberdeen branch of SGT, and some great people coming through from SGT Plus there, but also some of the stuff that we do for the generation younger than that, the, you know, from schools, who are going to be the next engineers, and things that we do, like the Christmas lectures, which are, you know, a great thing. I was going to ask how can the SUT help attract the younger generation to ocean-related science and engineering activities?
I think we do need to try and get in touch with either schools or local groups that are advising on career opportunities. It's not just engineers that the industry and the SUT needs. It's archaeologists and research scientists and people involved in information technology or data. There are a wealth of jobs and career opportunities that the industries represented by the SUT cover. And I have a niece who got her degree at St. Andrews, and she's a marine biologist. And you know, she's worked on cetacean research vessels and been a commercial diver. So again, it's being aware that you don't necessarily need to be an engineer to have an interesting and fulfilling career as a young person. Sometimes it's being an enthusiastic speaker. Sometimes it's just telling people in the schools that these are options that are open to their students. Lots of conversations over the last year have been how there is limited lifespan in the oil and gas industry as we go towards net zero. But reality is that hydrocarbons, oil and gas, are going to be with us for at least, I want to say, the best part of the next generation, but certainly the working life of many people. It's not an area that's going to vanish tomorrow, which I know it may not be the politically correct thing to say, but it's the reality. And there are opportunities for people who are chemists or in medicine. It's wide, it's vast, it's interesting, it's exciting. And unless students, you know, as they go into secondary school, have something presented where they can make a connection and see that they could have a future and make a difference and have fulfillment, then we lose those students along the way. So I'm all for all of us being advocates for the industries that we work in and we know and we love.
It is interesting and it is exciting. I mean, there's so much variety of things that are involved in the underwater environment from a science and technology and engineering point of view. I mean, I knew about these things from my own day job professional life, but getting, you know, even getting involved in doing the underwater technology podcast, and you learn so many different things and so many different things that you weren't even aware of until coming across you know, these different conversations. So there is just such a variety in things that young people, given a chance, could get involved in.
For those that don't want to go into engineering, there are hundreds of different career paths in the industries that the SUT covers. Yes, many are science, but others are not pure science or engineering. And it is, I say, it's a big blue world. The blue economy for the future is estimated in trillions of pounds as an industry. And that means a lot of jobs, quite simply, and a lot of growth, a plethora of careers. And sometimes people just don't think or know about something. So let's open their eyes. Yeah. And do better at talking about not only what we do, but why it's interesting and why it's exciting. While we've all been sitting in lockdown and enjoying things like reruns of David Attenborough, the Perfect Planet series with the oceans episode was fantastic. I don't know if you're old enough to remember the Jacques Cousteau TV series.
I maybe won't reveal my age online.
I'd say if anybody doesn't know who Jacques Cousteau is, and I'm sure there'll be a few, I don't even know if those sort of programs are available on YouTube, But he was inspiring. And for many people, it was a first real glimpse about all things marine as he went around the world. Or you can watch the programs about people who were diving on historical sites, or even the James Cameron documentary about Titanic. I'm going to say, forget the movie. Mm-hmm. We all know how it ends. But the work that was done, you know, filming the documentaries with latest subsea technology, you can sit there and be amazed, just amazed at what can be revealed.
These are the types of things that will inspire the next generation to get involved and see what they can do. And it's going to be that younger generation that's going to be doing all those really interesting things that we're speaking about. As old codgers aren't going to be doing it, those things in many years to come. It's the young guys that are coming through.
One of the interesting things about, let's say, oceans that I toyed with as giving you a fact is there's about 240, 250,000 identified aquatic species. That's more than all the animal varieties that are round dwellers. And they don't know how many more species may be yet to be found and identified. So this range of what we can learn from oceans is still boundless.
Yeah, I think that's a really good message to take us to a close, really, that there are so many opportunities, there's still so much to explore, there's still so much that we can all benefit from the oceans.
I agree. And I think that because the SUT is set up as a learned society, we are in the perfect place to learn together and share what we've learned in the wider world.
So if there are the younger generation or the older generation that are listening and they want to learn more about what the SUT do or learn more about the oceans in general from us, how would they go about getting in touch to find out more?
First of all, I'll put the little plug in for the SUT website, which is just sut.org. And on the website, you'll find contact information for myself and other members of the team. And you'll also find our wonderful web calendar with coming events, phone number. So as they say, you know, email us, phone us, and somebody will get back to you. And if you're interested in interacting with any of the branches, have a look at the extensive list on the website, and the names or email addresses for all the chairs are there, as well as the special interest groups that the SUT has. And you may find just the right person. I know that Emily will probably appreciate a little advertisement for the SUT forums that will be opening soon, where people can email in with questions.
Perfect. And we'll include some of those details in the podcast description on Buzzsprout. So if you're listening, please check the description. You can follow links to contact details and websites from there. So that leaves me just to say thanks very much to Cheryl for joining me on the Underwater Technology Podcast. Thank you very much, Cheryl.
You're welcome. And thank you for asking me.
You are very welcome. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you have any questions and would like to get in touch with us, or if you'd like to find out how you can appear on a future podcast or sponsor an upcoming podcast, contact info@sut.org. Don't forget to like, rate and subscribe, and we'll be back with a new episode next week.